Okay, 3, 2.
3, 2, hit it!
It's time to double down with Max and Stacy on Sputnik Radio. Coming up on the show, we talk to Alina Vranova of CASA, an author of the Little Bitcoin Book. It's a book about Bitcoin for everybody. Mm-hmm. But first, as always, it's time to hear from Stacy with the hottest headlines of the day.
Well, Max, we have great headlines today because it really shows you why Bitcoin matters. Why we Bitcoin. I'm going to read a tweet from President Donald Trump. Yes, the orange one who rules our country. He said, quote, "Plenty of oil!" Exclamation point. And this is, of course, in response to perhaps the impending war, yet another war in the Middle East, as some drone strikes have taken out, we don't know the exact figure, but a lot of the oil supply, at least 5 million barrels per day out of Saudi Arabia. And a response from the crypto Twitter community reads from Hodel On Comrades. He tweets, "Limited Bitcoin." Of course, with limited Bitcoin, just like when we were on a gold standard, it is a little bit more difficult to, wage reckless wars.
Yeah. Well, you know, oil is a finite resource, but in the age of monetization and commodification, it can be an infinite resource because you can simply create synthetic oil futures contracts, and you can create fiat money contracts, and you can do all kinds of financial engineering to hide the fact that your money is losing value, your paper money. And as that tweet suggests, there is a limited supply, a hard cap on Bitcoin, and we're entering the age of hard money once again. After the experimentation with fiat money, referring to other fiat money, we're going back to hard money, and this has wide-scale implications all around the world.
There were some figures out, just to put this into context, how much oil has been taken off the market. This is the number one biggest disruption in oil history. From September 2019, the Saudi drone strike has taken off 5.7 million barrels per day. Iranian Revolution was the next one. That was in 1978-79. Max and I remember that. Took 5.6 million barrels off. Arab-Israeli War and the oil embargo, 1973-1974, took 4.3 million barrels off. So first of all, it keeps on going on, the top 10, and all but one are in the Middle East, the same Iraq, Kuwait, Iran. That area is all about what caused most of the disruptions. The biggest, I guess this is the biggest price spike. We saw a 20% price spike since, it was the biggest since the, I guess, the Iranian Revolution or the outbreak of the Iran-Iraq War.
Right. Well, in 1971, America defaulted on its sovereign obligations and they closed the gold window and we went on the petrodollar. And this is the beginning of the petrodollar era. And we could be at the end of the petrodollar era because we have a competitor in our midst, a predatory apex predator gobbling up all the fiat prey. And that, of course, would be Bitcoin.
Well, Orange Coin Good, we do all in the crypto community, or now I guess it's called the Bitcoin community again, that we do call it Orange Coin. So it's time to turn to Alina Vranova. She's the co-author of the Little Bitcoin Book. She had 7 co-authors, 8 in total, including a friend here of Double Down, and that is Jimmy Song. So you call it a household book about Bitcoin. Why household? Why are you targeting the household?
Thanks for having me. Well, I call it a household book because there's nothing of a small format that people could just go to for the basic answers to why Bitcoin matters for freedom and finances and the future. And I was always hoping to have something on me when, you know, I met friends and family and they were always like, so what is the Bitcoin? And I was ready to give them like a, you know, 1 hour or 2 hours of explanations, but that's a hefty topic. It's a bulky topic. You know, in order to really understand Bitcoin, you need to understand the context we live in and what our governments do with our money and what they do with the geopolitical situation through the power that the money gives them.
Exactly. So many people are kind of intimidated at Bitcoin. They think of this cryptography and hashing algorithms and all these sort of technical words and mathematics, and I don't possibly understand that sort of stuff. And so you're focusing on the fundamental main concepts and ideological reasons. Our fundamental thing is money. That's a form of speech, essentially. So you're bringing it down to the very essence of why it matters to any individual. Elaborate on that point about, like, what is wrong with the money we have now, and why do people need to concern themselves with it?
Well, we started the book off with stories, because each of the author comes from a different background, and from we come from five continents, right? From the Philippines, from former Czechoslovakia, from Nigeria, from Venezuela. And all of us have the historical experience of our governments taking power and taking control of the citizens through money, through capital controls, through inflation, through devaluation of the money, through confiscation of property, through nationalization. And this is all like monetary tools and financial tools that the governments do have in order to navigate and steer our behavior, right? And our thinking. I believe that money is a tool of expression, a tool of freedom of speech, basically. And so I have quite a living memory of people that have been imprisoned, intelligence that have been put to work in the worst places, that have been prevented from studying and getting involved and financially included in the society. And the financial inclusion, or financial access that I prefer to use, is absolutely crucial for individual freedom for people around the world. And so today, you look at countries such as Afghanistan, where women cannot get a work, get a bank account, or Saudi Arabia, all these places. And there's, I would say, 2/3 at least of the world is suffering various consequences of our governments being able to just go and print any amount of money and finance any activities that they like to.
It's Double Down with Max and Stacey.
Oh, yeah, it's a new show on Sputnik Radio. Right, Elena, so the book is called The Little Bitcoin Book, Why Bitcoin Matters for Your Freedom, Finances, and Future. It has 8 co-authors. What was the biggest challenge in writing the book?
The time pressure. We decided to do it just in 4 days. And of course, in 4 days to write something that makes sense, is concise, and doesn't lack anything important, that was a big challenge. And of course, on the other hand, every author is from different background and has different worldviews. We do not agree politically speaking. We don't even agree on certain parts. But we had a very certain goal that was, you know, of all of us, so we kind of worked through it. That was an intense and very interesting experience, very exciting to do this.
You had mentioned the money situation and problems in places like Afghanistan or Saudi Arabia and financial access. But of course, we have across Europe now, we have negative interest rates. We have new laws that were brought in after 2013 and the Cyprus bail-in. So basically, there will be bail-ins the next time there is a financial crisis in Europe. So what about these sort of economies? Because, you know, we've just been traveling for the past 4 weeks. We're right here now in Riga, Latvia, at the Bitcoin conference called Baltic Honey Badger. And, you know, there is a sort of contentment. They're like, well, you know, I think maybe people in Venezuela, Argentina is having another financial crisis. And I'm sure many people there were prepared already, and they knew that this is a possibility. But most people in Europe, I think, perhaps outside of Greece or Iceland, might think that, you know, we're safe. It's not going to be a problem for us. So do you address those sort of users and that they should own Bitcoin?
Well, there's another part to our current situation, and that's the privacy intrusions. that come not just from the banking system that is tracing every transaction that you do, but also from the social media. And now combining all that, we landed in a place of, you know, you buy some dog food for your pet, and then 5 minutes later, your bank has already sold all the information to 30 other companies that are now serving you advertisements and steering your behavior and your choices. That's also like a substantial change, right? My mom, who's a senior, she called me recently. She went like, "Alena, I don't want to use my credit card anymore." I said, "Why, mom?" She was like, "I feel like they watch every step that I do." Now, we may think, "Oh, well, I don't care what they read about me on Facebook or what they know about my, you know, consumer behavior." And I'm saying, yeah, because people usually don't feel like they're doing something wrong, so they have nothing to hide. And that's a very typical answer to the privacy question. What I'm saying is, we have seen so many times in the history how the regime has changed from one day to another, and how something that you're saying today may be considered very dangerous for the establishment tomorrow. Just look at Hong Kong. Look at Hong Kong, where people are literally surveilled every step they do, and they're taken out, they're beaten. This can happen to anyone in the world. We should not get, you know, comfortable in our current situation thinking that, yeah, we will have another bailout and everything will settle down and we'll be fine.
But it's also, you know, those are extreme situations, but it's also just normal. Like, the fact is, everything is online and surveyed. So you see people today being deplatformed or fired for something they said 30 years ago, when perhaps moral, code of conduct in the public space was different. So they're being deplatformed and fired. But they're also, you know, again, we look at the social credit score in China and we think, oh my God, that's horrible and that's bad. But then you look at WikiLeaks, they get deplatformed, they get like totally removed from the financial grid. And most people in our society, because we watch the news and we hear the same story and we listen to our lead, and we say, well, those are bad guys. But the people in China, maybe they, we have to rescue them.
We have to rescue ourselves. Right. There's a story in our book about this Chinese girl who had a chat with her friend, and the friend had some problems because he did some minor offense, let's say. In the middle of conversation, he just went mute and he didn't come back for a long time. And then she disappeared for 2 weeks because some gentleman took her away from her job. When she returned, she realized that she cannot do half of the things that she was able to do before through WeChat. WeChat is a Chinese Facebook plus PayPal. Imagine an application that you use for anything from chatting with friends to ordering, booking flights, buying any groceries. And she realized when she returned that she cannot even get a flight ticket. So she effectively is a financial prisoner in her own country.
All right. And it speaks to this notion of individual sovereignty, which is something you hear often when you come to a conference like the Honey Badger Conference here in Riga, Latvia. So is that what's meant by individual sovereignty?
What do you mean?
When you speak about having the ability to be responsible for yourself and to be able to fight back against the state or authoritarianism, is that what individual sovereignty, I hear that term so often, is that what it means?
I understand individual sovereignty as a situation where you control your wealth and you control your time and space, right? You are at freedom to move, to talk, to say what you think without being persecuted for your ideas, right? So for me, this is freedom, freedom of ideas and freedom of movement.
Well, the book is called The Little Bitcoin Book. They wrote it in 4 days in California, and we have 8 authors of this. You should check it out. Where can people get it?
They can get it on Amazon. Just search The Little Bitcoin Book, or you can go to Twitter, Little Bitcoin BK, or we also have a website, littlebitcoinbook.com, where you can either click through to Amazon and buy and just send out these books to your friends who always wanted to understand Bitcoin. Or you can also make a small donation that we can use to finance translations, because the goal is to really make this available to anyone, regardless of his origin, where he's coming from.
All right. Well, that's it for this episode of Double Down with me, Max Kaiser, and Stacey Herbert on Sputnik Radio. I'd like to thank our guest, Elena Vranova, co-author of The Little Book of Bitcoin. Until next week. Bye, y'all.